Good morning, and welcome to another hour of the Conservative Thought Hour. Let's get right into today's show. Rick, we've got Lucretia Hughes, and I'm excited. This is going to be a great hour.
It absolutely is. I'll give a little bio for Lucretia for our audience so they understand who we're speaking with. Lucretia is a co-founder of Fallback Production Studio, LLC, and she's show host for The Real News with Lucretia Hughes, and conservative activist for God, family, country, and some guy named Trump. President Trump has taken notice of Lucretia's passion for her country by retweeting her messages. Oh, yeah. Lucretia is a strong advocate for religious freedom, conservative and Republican values. She serves as president for the Lanier Tea Party Patriots and serves on the NRA Nominating Committee and the NRA Outreach Committee of Georgia. She's a member of the Republican Assembly, the Lanier Republican Assembly, the Georgia Republican Party, and the Walton Republican Party. She was honored by Speak Up Georgia for her contributions to the upliftment and advancement of conservative movement. She is also named to Who's Who of Georgia Conservatives. Now, I've got to tell you, I got an email inviting me to a speech she was given in Port Charlotte some time ago, and I went down at Patriots Pizza, great place if you ever get a chance. And that's where I met Lucretia Hughes, and I knew right on the spot that I had to have her on my show. So, Lucretia, welcome to the Conservative Thought Hour.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me, Rick. And it was great to even just meet you at Pioneer Pizza and being having the opportunity to even come down there and speak. So I really appreciate it.
It's really terrific. Now, I have a couple of beginning questions. You are a mother of what, three, four children?
Four.
And a grandmother of seven.
Eight.
Eight now. Wow, well, that changed. Holy dooly. And on top of that, you run the Hughes insurance business. Now, I know for a fact how much time it takes to run an insurance business. How do you do that and keep up with your news with Lucretia Hughes and all your volunteering and conservative work? How do you do all that?
Actually, I just let that part of my life go, because once you get into the financial industry or even getting out there with the insurance, your why, you always got to figure out why are you trying to get people to cover their lives in the first place. You got to have and figure out their whys, what motivates them. So I thought about it. You know, everything that I was taught in the financial industry, it actually better prepared me of getting out here on the forefront and actually fighting for our wives. And our wives are my four children and my eight grandchildren and people, other people that I've never met before.
Well, we commend you for the efforts you're doing. I know it's nonstop. I've watched one of your podcasts. Would you tell our audience how they can watch you?
Well, I do a podcast or a show 5 nights a week from 5 to 7, and sometimes we come on at 9 o'clock. So you can watch me on pretty much every social media except on YouTube, because they banned me from YouTube for misinformation or spam. That's what they did. But the only thing I was doing was reporting the news from lamestream media. And if it goes against our Constitution, what we stand for as being conservatives or even American citizens, and people, then I go and I talk about it. So I guess, you know, you can see me on YouTube, and it's under my husband's name, James Klukin. And then also just type me out there. I'm on Roku, Fire Stick, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, DLive. I try to diversify, because we saw that lamestream media, or who I call the gods of this world, because you got Metaverse now, Facebook, But we understand and realize exactly who owns it. So you have to diversify, because if they don't like what you have to say, you have to start all over again. Well, I saw the writing on the wall 3 years ago. So me and my husband decided to make our own media company. We have our own media company. We have our own merchandise company. And we decided, you know what, this is now or never. So we decided to get out there, diversify. So even if they shut us down on some social media platform, you still can find what we do.
Well, I've been personally kicked off of Facebook, so I don't even like to mention the name of that company on my show. But I typed in fallbackusa.com, and that took me to your D-Line podcast show. Is that an easy way to get to you?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And if you notice, we call each other, I don't like fans. I don't like the word followers, because I choose, if someone enters my life or onto my path, then especially in the chat rooms, you get to know each other. You get to learn their likes, dislikes, birthdays, families. Even I will stop in mid-show and pray for someone if it catches my attention. So our show is interactive and is titled The Real News with Lucretia Hughes. And I always say, research everything that I'm talking about. Prove to me that I'm lying. And if you can and you like what you see, then you bring in receipts or information. Show us proof of what you're talking about, because as we learn, you're learning. And as I am, as I'm learning, everybody else is too. So my whole life is interactive. Our show is interactive. And that's, we get people involved, motivated to get out there and really have boots on the ground.
Oh, that sounds great. I really enjoyed your podcast. That was great fun. Now, you know, we talked about Facebook. This is interesting, because this week they've changed their name to Meta, M-E-T-A. And boy, have conservatives had a lot of fun with that. Do you know what Meta stands for now?
People are saying death or something like that. Dead? I don't know.
Everything Trump. Again.
Yay.
And the really crazy thing is that, you know, Zuckerberg, with a name like that, it's fairly obvious, but he is Jewish. What he didn't know is that Meta in Hebrew means death.
Mm.
If he had known that, I think they'd have picked a different name.
Well, not really, because if you look at the algorithms and you look at the shutting down conservatives, taking one of the world leaders of the world and making them pretend like they don't exist, then metaverse and everything it touches is turning to death.
Yeah, the Death Star from Star Trek.
Yes.
Or Star Wars, or whatever show that is. It's a Death Star aiming to kill all the conservatives. Wow.
Well, do you think it's really all the conservatives? Because if we're paying attention, we want to get to the nitty gritty of it all. Everything that we just recently went through is the death of something, the death of the economy, the faith that people have in the higher up, in the upper echelon. It can death the Meta, that can be death to our. I say this, we know China has the authorization to dim the sun. Is that death to the sunlight? It's that can be flipped in so many ways. But it's death of people's voices, death of unborn children, because they're advocating it. And if you pay attention to what's been going on with Instagram and Facebook, it's death to young girls, because they push that so much on these platforms, even to the point that's one of the reasons it got slapped down on Instagram, because it's like it's grooming the death of kids' childhoods. Because it's pretty, it could go anyway.
Well, one of the things that I think is a surprise to our friends on the left is that there are really so many conservatives at heart that have been withdrawing from public life, withdrawing from political life. And the elections a bit ago in Virginia and New Jersey have shown the left that that's not true. The conservatives are strong, and we're not bowing down to anybody at any time.
And I wouldn't even say the conservatives. They went after Mama Bear and Papa Bear this time with the CRT across the board, the overbearing taxes, the regulations, the defunding the police, not having safety officers, blaming us for everything. I think they put their own nail in the coffin. And this, to me, is like a great revival or a huge red wave. Because when you even have Kamala Harris up there saying that this is going to test the tone of politics, well, y'all might want to go ahead and get some a grave digger and dig your own holes, because we're tired of it as American citizens.
Boy, is that the truth. Not only in Virginia and New Jersey, but in Texas.
And Ohio flipped a seat.
Yeah.
Think about Connecticut. Connecticut has been a strong blue area. They're up 20 percentage points. How did that happen? Way to go, Trump. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, I was watching MSNBC because I love watching lefties melt. And they have been melting worse than they did when Trump won the presidency in 2016. They actually, you know, they're angry at the Virginia voters, calling them white supremacists and domestic terrorists. Now, these are the same people that voted for Joe Biden.
Right.
How can they be white supremacists and domestic terrorists if they voted for Joe Biden? And how can they be white terrorists and domestic terrorists, white supremacists and domestic terrorists, if they vote in a black female lieutenant governor and a Hispanic attorney general? That doesn't sound very white supremacist to me.
Oh, well, to me, it sounds delicious. I mean, come on, can we got a woo, 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 okay? First Latino male as the AG. You have Miss Winsome Sears that is the lieutenant governor. And now you got Youngkin. That's like a wet dream to anybody that's been paying attention to politics. But that is a shot over the brow of every echelon elitist Republican that's been towing the party line and flip-flopping to the Democrats. They should be the ones that's scared, not us.
This is going to make a huge amount of change in political life until the next election. You know, the Democrats, I don't think, will have what it takes to push all the big spending bills that they want across the line.
Well, that was out of the question with Joe Manchin. When Joe Manchin came out and said what he had to say, you know, like he said, I'm a blue collar from West Virginia. There's no way I can go back to my constituents to even, and you're not proving to me where this money is going from. I'm not going to put my name on anything, especially being on the House Reconciliation Committee. He said, he's pretty much telling people he's not going to hang himself just to get something pushed through.
Yeah, well, we've always asked Joe why he's a Democrat. You know, he's much more of a Republican than he is a Democrat.
He's acting like more of a Republican than Lindsey Graham and the rest of, to me, I call them the nasty 17. Now we know there's 17 Republicans that's willing to compromise the morals and values and the Constitution of the United States. Then you're not a Republican at all, and you don't hold the foundations and the values of the Republican Party. So I wish we stopped calling each other a brand. This is our lives they're messing with. I'm not a brand. I'm not a party. I'm a person and a sovereign citizen inside of a sovereign nation.
Well, is that the truth? Now, Lindsey, you know, he spent forever in politics, very quietly, not doing anything. And the only time he became known to the country was the Kavanaugh hearings.
Mm-mm. John McCain passed away and he finally got off and under John McCain wings is when you really started really paying attention to Lindsey Graham. So Lindsey Graham ain't squeaky clean. No, No, not by a long shot. So if people really want to know, because that's why I always talk about politicians and politics, you vet these people. You start paying attention. I don't care who they are and what party they're affiliated with. If you really want to know what these people are about, you pay attention to not only their votes, what they have brought to the hopper, or, you know, what bill they have wrote up, which we know they don't write the bills. And then you also look at their campaign contributors, because if you're getting more of big white envelopes underneath the table than nickels and dime from your constituents, then we know who you actually work for and who you're going to help even harder. And it's not the citizens of South Carolina.
Yeah, boy. Well, it's so hard to know who's on your side and who isn't anymore.
Yeah, it is. You're old enough, and this would always say, when I go out there and I talk to people, I'm taking the cues and the lessons from the greatest generation, which is my elders, who we supposed to look up to, who the Bible commands we supposed to pay attention to, protect, and honor. That's who I'm grabbing my cues from. So if I didn't know all this from your generation telling me, hey, you need to pay attention. Hey, you need to do your research. You need to pull back the curtain. Then I wouldn't know any better either. So that's the only way that I learn. It's from listening to the greatest generation while I'm trying to take the hand and grab hold to the next generation, so that legacy and that word of mouth and everything that y'all have been through, regardless from Jim Crow, regardless if it's from the voting rights, or regardless from old to Jimmy Carter, y'all went through the roughest time in our history. No electricity, no any of this stuff of modern convenience that we have now. There's no reason why that this generation should be dumber than y'all. And that is exactly what's happening, because now you are seeing things that you handled and squashed a long time ago, rearing its ugly head, from racism, CRT, to not teaching civics, to not even knowing what the Dust Bowl is, to not even know what Vietnam War veterans went through. So if we lose y'all voice and y'all lessons and legacy, then we're truly a doomed nation. But right now, we're truly not. And we saw that from all the red waves that happened across America.
Boy, yeah. I was watching MSNBC, and they're saying that the reason that McAuliffe lost was all the domestic terrorists and white supremacists. You know,
wait a minute. Barack Obama, ain't he a black man? So he was patting him on the back and holding his, he was hugging him, real two personal spaces for me. You had Kamala Harris, and she's supposed to be the person of color. She don't know if she's an Indian or a black chick. And then Elizabeth Warren, who is a known Indian, even though you might be a redneck if your tree goes straight, then she had all the diversifying and the diversity that they need. And then they have Hollywood shout louder. That should tell them they are tone deaf. We're sick of them. They have no idea. We're not a caste system. And if that's what they want to pull, they're going to forever be racist, because, no offense, we have the most interracial people walking around, interracial couples. We had people from both sides of voting. They just don't know. We don't want communism. And when they finally swallow that whole, then maybe they'll stop trying to take us and giving us all our, giving it to the New World Order or to China. We are America.
Well, if they really believe that this country is founded on racism and is run by white supremacy and domestic terrorists, I have a simple solution for them. Move. Pack your bags. You know, we got millions of people coming here trying to get to this terrible country, and they're leaving lots of empty spaces in South America and Central America. Just, you know, go down to Venezuela or go down to Guatemala or any of those countries, and I'm sure they'd welcome you and take your money and be happy that you're there. Go. I'll help buy you a plane ticket, for goodness sake.
Wow. You know what? That's why everyone has free will. Everyone can leave. You, if you got a passport, and no offense, you don't have to have a passport. Let's look at what's going on at the southern border. Let's look at the invasion from these people that are, we have no idea who they are. We have no idea where they come from, but you have the resident of in office or chief up there trying to offer them a proposal of $450,000 apiece. I have a problem with that. But of course, I have a problem with pretty much everything he's done since January 21st.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it was Panama that called the United States, said, you got a problem. This big caravan that's coming up, we've done facial recognition, and we found 50 people on the world terrorist list in that caravan.
And no, they don't want to shut the border. They're paying people not to even build the wall. And now, what was the numbers I looked up? It's been almost 2 million people invade the southern border, all the way from Haiti to Central America, from all over the globe. And like you said, yes, even known terrorists that's on the watch list is being flooded across the border. But that's not even talking about the opioids, the mules, the sex trafficking, and every other plague of our nation. But you want to continue to stamp us down, hold us down, mask us up, censor us to death, but you're not doing anything and mandate people to get a jab that they don't want that goes against their own freedom and their own religion. Then I have a problem not only with the West execs, who is running America and has more positions on Biden's administration, which was founded a corporation in 2017 by Barack Obama and George Soros. We know who's running our government.
Yeah, well, we hope we know who's running our government. I'm wondering how much of our government's being run by George Soros and the Rothschilds and the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, we do know that the EPA, and not only the EPA, some more organizations, administrations in the Biden administration gave authorization for China to have control over our power grids in certain states around the United States. Look at Texas, before Texas shut them down because they own one of the largest energy fields down there, and it was close to one of our military bases. Well, China shut that down. So, I mean, not China, but Texas. So when you give an authorization and the EPA and all the rest of them are giving foreign entities and enemies authorization over our own power grid, then it tells you exactly how much they want us to crumble within.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse than that. We were at one of our favorite restaurants yesterday, and we wanted my wife ordered some Canadian bacon, and we were told that they couldn't get Canadian bacon anymore.
Well, you can't probably get American bacon, especially since Smithfield Foods was bought up by China anyway.
Yeah, Smithfield Foods is owned by China. And what's interesting is that China has decided they're mad at Australia because Australia is where they got all their protein from, in hogs and cattle. And China's decided not to buy Australian protein. Where are they going to get it? Well, Smithfield Foods is one of the largest producers of protein, and China's, I think, they're shipping what should be here for us. I think they're shipping it back to the Chinese. I'm so tired of college-educated elitist idiots who don't know anything. Let me have some real Americans.
That's why my husband said he found me. He said he was looking for the first time. He said he had been working in the, my husband has 28 years of experience as a lighting director and manager for some major entertainment artists. So he said when he got tired of living in sin and he got tired of working for sin, he said he got out here and really started helping with the GRA, the Georgia Republican Assembly, and a lot of Republicans. And he said he was at meetings. He said, What are real Americans at? You know, where's the real ones? And then all of a sudden, I wrote up on this and I asked him to make T-shirts and hats. And I said, before you even decide to work with me, I said, because either you're going to love me or hate me. I said, I'm not proper. I'm not prim. Please don't try to polish me. I said, I'm country and ghetto at the same time. And I said, oh, and by the way, I'm Black. I said, I'm Black woman. I said, so watch a video. This is 8 o'clock in the morning, and we have been together ever since. So, yay! I got a good one.
Well, absolutely. I had the pleasure of meeting David when I met you. And what a lucky man he is. And what a lucky girl you are.
You know what? I love him. And I just appreciate him seeing something in me and helping build with my mother and myself to build everything that we've been on in his journey has been, I say thank you, at 47 and being remarried again for the third time. And I would thought it was going to be a little bit hard. I cannot say I didn't, because I've never dated a white guy before. I say I've never have. And for my children, my grown children and my grandchildren, just have open arms to him and treat him just like he's always been a part of their life. It tells me that the United States isn't inherent racist. All this stuff that you see on mainstream media, it exists, but not in my family. We are a melting pot, and you will not come anywhere near me or anyone that I'm around and try to disrespect us whatsoever.
Yep. Amen. And I'll stand up with you and sing that song and fight that fight. Well, you know, it's really hard to understand. We left the first part of the show talking about who's really running this country. And that is a question that literally scares me. And I don't get scared much. But, you know, even Mitch McConnell, and I am not suggesting Mitch or his family are wrong or doing anything wrong. But the fact of the matter is, he's married to a wealthy Chinese woman whose family is big in the shipping industry. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying she's not the finest person in the world, but we're in an environment where you have to look deeply at everything. And
why? You got Mitch McConnell saying he's one of the, you know, I thought Trump was a negotiator. He called himself a compromiser. He is one of the greatest compromisers. We know that Mitch McConnell and his wife own majority or a whole bunch of our ports around America, from the East Coast to the West Coast. We know that he is a speaker. He has the majority up there on the Republican side. And how long has he been in office? I always say, if you want to look at what's wrong with our nation, you look at the people that's been sitting in office for more than two consecutive terms or more, and we see they go up there. They are the ones that's doing this on both sides of the aisle. I don't care what side that you're on, but if you have something, if you compromise, if you came and you even bend any of our declaration or any of our constitution, I have a problem with you. And Mitch McConnell is one of these Republicans in name only I truly have a problem with. And you could put Pence up there with him and the coin that he slid in his pocket on that day.
Well, you touched on a topic that's dear to my heart, and that's term limits for Congress.
Term limits is voting. Let's just get it true, because right now they're not willing to take away their own jobs, their own pension, their own clout, their own rose-colored glasses. So if you want to change that person, then you find a valuable candidate and you push them out there and you run them hard. And if you can look at it from Connecticut, you can look at it what happened in Virginia, you can look at it all across the board. It's like the people that has not had any political experience whatsoever are the ones that's rising to the top. And if they destroyed us and learned how to destroy us, then let's get new people in there, teach them the right way, let them know what the oath of office really means, let them know what the constitution means, and actually get them some ethic classes that they have to take every 2 years, so they are not taking white envelopes. They're not out there bending laws for themselves, and they're not doing insider trading. Oh, yeah.
Well, approximately 70 to 80% of a elected representative's time every day is spent trying to get reelected.
Yes. And campaigning. And campaigning for donations.
And for fundraising. And that's too much. If that's how much time they're spending getting reelected, then maybe we need a part-time Congress.
Then we have a part-time Congress. When this all first started, you look at all those 28-year-olds and those 30-year-olds that signed the Constitution, because everybody seemed to think our founding fathers were literally fathers, like way up in there in age, and they wasn't. They was young adults, millennials at this time, if you look at the age, and they still fasted and prayed for 3 days before signing the Declaration of Independence. They still had turmoil and strife, but they got it together to give us something that has been our legacy for 240 some odd years. So if these people can learn to do the right thing, get back in there to know exactly what a constitutional republic is, a sovereign nation and states within inside that sovereign nation, then maybe we could get our power back. But if we're having legislators from Maxine Waters all the way to Lindsey Graham, all the way to Mitt Romney, to Mitch McConnell, if we're having these same people that are compromising our laws on a global scale and also for their pocketbooks, then we're not the problem. They actually are.
Oh, without question, they're the problem. We ought to give them a certain amount of time, might be 6 years, to learn how to do the job and spend, 2 years learning and 4 years doing it, and then go home. And you don't get a lifetime pension. You don't get a lifetime health insurance. It's just a part-time job when you're in Congress. And you have to live by the same laws you pass for the rest of us.
Well, I don't understand why the 13th Amendment wasn't rewritten back into our Constitution, because the 13th Amendment said no lawyer should hold office in any type of capability. But once they went up in flame, they never rewrote it and put it back in there. And people still try to prove me wrong, and they look gobsmacked when they realize, holy, yeah, that was in there in the Constitution. They just didn't decide to put it back. So that's why most people can't read bills. Most people can't read pieces of legislation. Number one, it's pushed by Alex and the Council on Foreign Relations on K Street. Or, it's just so much gobbledygook that a lame man can never read a whole piece of bill because it's so confusing and double talk.
Well, who can ever forget Nancy Pelosi? You're going to have to pass this bill before we know what's in it.
Oh, you're talking about Obamacare, which no Republican voted for. Not one Republican voted for Obamacare, and it was brought to us by John Roberts.
Yep.
I cried that day.
Roberts.
I cried that whole day. I said,
John Roberts was the Republican-nominated Supreme Court Justice, who's now the Chief Justice. And
who was he nominated by?
Well,
that should tell you everything that he really stood for. It depends on what president actually nominated him. And if you're talking about George W. Bush or even the senior, he was the first one that said the New World Order. He was the one first one that's talking about the UN peacekeepers. So he had already went and started selling us to the highest bidder. This goes back decades. So everybody that's wanting to pin everything between, you got to walk this back. Although it goes back for a while. So instead of everybody looking today, some of this stuff has been in fruition and it has been down the pipeline for a very long time. We're just seeing the full effect of it coming into fruition.
Well, there's no question the Supreme Court was a political group back in the founding of the country. It was politically motivated for nomination, and it hasn't stopped since. And maybe the problem is that political appointments don't have to answer to anybody. Maybe the problem is that maybe the solution is that Supreme Court justices should have terms and they should be elected. And then they'd have to answer to the people.
Well, I don't like this court padding. They need to leave that alone. I don't believe there's anything wrong with what it is now. And trying to change that too, would that be an amendment to the Constitution? Would Congress have to do that?
Yeah, Congress would have to do that, and the Supreme Court would probably rule it unconstitutional.
Wow.
It would be a massive battle, and it would be bruising and ugly, and there'd be a lot of dead bodies on the side of the road, politically speaking, from trying to push through padding the court. I think that's just the Democrats trying to make scare tactics.
That's all they have is scare tactics. I mean, we've been living in fear for almost 2 years now. We could take it to Dr. Fauci. I call him Dr. Fructose Corn Syrup because, you know, that's fake sugar. That dude has been around since the AIDS epidemic, and he's bringing us a new epidemic. In the beagle situation, where's PETA? Why are you testing on beagles? What sand flies got to do with anything? And now we're finding out that there's a actual university in Kentucky that is supercharging bacteria. Are they trying to kill us? The answer is yes. You don't have to answer that.
It is scary. It is. I have a quote on scaring the people that comes from H.L. Mencken. I'm just trying to find where that is. I can't find it now. I must not have put it out. Oh, well, he basically said that of the politician's main weapon is fear. Create a crisis and make the people cower in fear and look towards the politician for solutions. And that's the way politics has been.
I don't mean to laugh at you, because the only person that I will ever drop a knee to and look up in my time of needs is my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. That right there was gobbledygook. Ain't no way in the world I'm finna look at anybody like a Maxine Waters, somebody like Nancy Pelosi. I ain't finna look at, really? Really? Well, there is some dead brain people out here, but you have people, we see it. I see it. Let's not. They had more faith in man than the man upstairs for the last almost two years now. And it's ridiculous to me, because I literally couldn't figure out where the faith was coming, where the fear was coming from. So I had to remind people, make shirts. You saw our shirts. Y'all need to have faith over fear. And that's the way I'm going to walk my life, because you can't outrun the final destination. You're never going to outrun the angel of death. We was all given a day we was going to die. Just make sure that you leave a legacy that that you can live up to. And then you'll smile, hopefully, when you close your eyes, because you know where you're going. I'm going to stand on his promises and not promises from man. But that's how strong I am in my faith. And I'm not going to debate anybody about it.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I am a man of very strong faith. I believe that there's something that's running our world, running our universe, and something we need to pay attention to and be respectful of. Whether or not that's religion, I don't know. You know, churches, I love churches. They do so many good things for so many people. But a lot has to be taken on absolute faith, and I don't want to take things on faith. I want to believe because there's proof, and I believe there's proof that our life and our world is orderly and was created by an intelligence greater than ours.
So, you better say it. Go ahead and preach. You're preaching now. What you talking about?
Well, that's just the way I am. I'm not a church-going person, but I'm a man of faith. And
I think I'm catching up with you, because, you know, after a certain age, I heard you don't give two rotten potatoes what anybody got to say, because you already lived that life. I'm trying to get like you.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but I'll tell you what. Every day I wake up, I see something I wouldn't have believed a few years ago or even a year ago. It's just an amazing educational experience every day, seeing people do things that are beyond belief.
It's scary. And that's why I tell people, you know what? if you recognize it, you recognize it. And now I don't think, and I always say in my point of view, we're not fighting against Republicans versus Democrats. The stuff that are doing now, the unethical laws, the immoral values, we're fighting good versus evil. And I think a lot of people that lives like us, that believes like us, that has some kind of faith, some kind of goodness in them, sees it. You do not write laws that it's okay to murder a child hours before it's born. There's nothing good that's going to come out of that. You do not kill and mangle people and turn a blind eye. You don't allow all these laws to be rewritten to get rid of the police that's leaving the most vulnerable behind. So it seems like we're fighting the good versus evil now. And no offense, the Republicans is the only people that got God in their platform. And I'm like, so who are you representing, Democrats? And who are you even calling on in your time of need? Because you completely reshape your whole landscape. There's no way that I could be a Democrat. I want something to stand on. And they're standing on quicksand. But we see that with all the elections across our nation. People are tired of it from every walk of life.
Absolutely true. It's heartening to watch people just turn around and say, wait a minute, enough is enough. And it's about bloody time that they did, because if they hadn't stood up like they're doing now, things might have gotten really ugly.
I don't think so. I think that a woman that has went through 24 to 48 hours, and some people telling me 72, to push a bowling ball off between their legs, they finna stand up for the rights to do whatever they have to protect that child. When you first put a baby in your arms, there's that unconditional love that make your heart swells by two. And when you're touching and you're trying to make it normalize pedophilia and everything else that's going on across the board to make these parents feel like they have no control, you overstepped your boundaries. And in America, we got mad boundaries, and you're not going to deal or try to go after people's children and something not happen. You can look at it from the guy that just murdered a man who he caught in a bedroom with his daughter. You can look at it to the father in Loudoun County in Virginia when he went up there. So much stuff is going on right now. I think the mothers, the fathers, and the rightful people in America have finally, like you said, enough is enough.
Absolutely. Well, where do we go from here? How do we consolidate the gains that we see currently happening in various states? How do we prevent the left from coming back?
You got to keep this motivation. This power, this energy, especially today. After today, I think you're going to see more people stand up because they know they have a fighting chance. And not only have a fighting chance, they have more hope now than they had in the last 6-7 months to seeing the inflation, from seeing the unemployment, the people that's being fired who used to be called heroes last year. So you're seeing a lot of people across the board want to keep the prosperity of what America means, what it means to have the American dream. And the people are fighting back against that. So I don't think there's more that we need to do other than continue to get out there loudly and proudly and say what we're fighting for. And you're going to see a lot more people jump on board, because they could swat away one bee, maybe two, but they have shaken and woken a hive. And there's a whole bunch of people that are coming after them and coming to the polls and coming out of the woodworks, either running in politics, running for the commissioner, running for their school board. They just want their voices back. And I think that's what we're allowing them to do, especially you and your radio show and me with my shows. We're allowing these people to not only find out the truth, to figure out how to research, to get out there and get their power back and find their voices again. And we, as a collective whole, together, have done that, because we never stopped.
Well, it could be the Democrats will not learn anything from this latest round of elections.
Yeah, they is. They're going to learn to even blame Whitey even more. Blame the white man. It's the white man's fault. You serious? Are you serious? Okay, then why does a black woman that's the new lieutenant governor, the first Hispanic ever, Latino, to ever hold political office? So that's far-fetched and in between. No one is falling for this anymore. And a lot of people are waking up. They're tired of the debauchery. They're tired of the summers of love. They're tired of Black Lives Matter. They're tired of Antifa. overbearing taxes, gas prices too dang on high, and now they are talking about your children could be stupid and we still going to kick them out of school.
I'm getting tired of a lot of that stuff. Here's that. I found a quote from H.L. Mencken. He said, "The whole room of practical politics is to keep the population alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary." That's H.L. Mencken's definition of politics.
Do you remember the lady named Mika? She's on MSNBC. She's on Morning Joe. You remember her father?
Yep.
"It's easier to kill millions than try to control them." He was part of the Barack Hussein Obama's administration. So what have they done? They have, and that goes back, and you can look this up too for anybody that would love to. 11,000 scientists in 2019 said that we should cool the earth because of climate change. A couple of weeks after that, you had Bill Gates come out and said everyone needs to be vaccinated. And then after that, we all of a sudden getting a virus that is stronger than anybody ever seen before. No one really wants to talk about Wuhan and where it came from or the gain of function. And that it was all brought to us, not only by our government funding these type of researches, but also the NIH, Dr. Fructose Corn Syrup, and anyone else involved. We wouldn't have variants if they stopped messing with Mother Nature.
Well, I think we're just about getting to the end of our time together today, Lucretia, which breaks my heart because I could listen to you talk and I could have conversations with you for hours.
I appreciate it. And hopefully I will be back in Florida the beginning of the year, January and February, so we can meet again. But if you ever want me back, I mean, come on the show. You can come. You can vice versa.
I could come on your podcast.
Yes, you can. Oh. And then you can zoom it so everybody see how handsome you are.
Oh, you're too kind.
He is. Well, I can't wait to hear that. Lucretia, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rick, it's been a great hour.
It has been, Gary.
All right.
Thank you, Lucretia, and we'll catch you all later.
All right, y'all have a blessed one.
For Rick Stannard, I'm Carrie Black. Thank you for listening to another hour of the Conservative Thought Hour. We're here every Saturday from 9 a.m. until 10.